We are going to look at a Bible timeline in this study. We are going to
Lenny, I lost your audio.
Sorry about that. All right, we're going to first start with some Bible information. We're going to look at the Old Testament timeline. That's where the books are chronologically recorded in the time frame that they were written. We also are going to look at the New Testament timeline. And finally, tonight, we're going to look at Jesus's relationship to the law. All important things that will bring us to study of the books in the Bible. Next week, when we start looking at the books, we're going to start with Genesis and go right through in the order that the Bible has it written in, so that it'll be easier for me to talk about each book. We also are going to look at some scriptures related to each of the books, how the associated book is representing Jesus, and how the book we are going to look at basically a summary, which I'm going to ask people to share their thoughts on the books, what they think is important in that particular book. And finally, we're going to look at the practical applications that we could draw from the book to increase our knowledge of God and to increase our faith and to have us grow with relationship to our Christian way of life. So from Bible information, the Bible is the standard of truth. God had given that to you and I. And reading and studying the Bible allows us to recognize false teachers by comparing them to biblical teachings. So it's important that we understand what God has written in the Bible. And the ability to do this is a sign of Christian maturity and enduring faith. So as we grow in our Christian walk of life, we should use the Bible as our guide. We also see that the Bible is a collection of ancient literature. It includes many different types of literature, such as history, law, poetry, parables, prayers, narratives, letters, and sermons have all combined to make up the 66 books of the Bible. And the 66 books were written individually over a period of about 1,500 years. It was written by over 40 different authors with different education levels, from none of them to the highest educated of the time. There's different professions, such as fishermen, tax collectors to a doctor, and different social and economic statuses, from a peasant to a king. So the authors were spread across three different continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa, and wrote in three different languages, Hebrew, Arabic, and Greek. Aramaic and Greek, thank you. We have two basic parts to the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. A testament is an ancient word that means covenant or promise. In the Old Testament, or Old Covenant, is the original Hebrew Bible and contains 39 books divided into groups: the law, the historical books, poetry, wisdom, writings, and the prophets. The New Testament, or the New Covenant, contains 27 books, and it reveals the life of Jesus in the Gospels, the apostles after Jesus ascended into heaven, Book of Acts, and the letters from the apostles to the early church, from Romans to Revelation. The Bible is God's love letter to humanity. God loves us so much that he had gave us the Bible. And his instructions we find in the Bible, it's a manual for humanity. Between the pages of the Bible, you'll find the truth to believe, promises to claim, commands to obey, and examples to follow. One of the reasons why we go back to the Old Testament and the early first century Christians, we follow their examples so that we could grow in our Christian walk of life. The Bible tells us about God, about ourselves, and about how to live now while we dwell on the earth, and eternally, what we look for in the future. The Bible helps us know God, love God, and follow God. We also find that the Bible helps us understand humankind. And the Bible contains God's master plan of salvation and how we can have assurance of God's forgiveness and salvation through Jesus. And God's love and plan to save people is woven throughout the entire Bible, the Old Testament and the New. We see that the Old Testament is essentially the history of the children of Israel, but God is the same God of the Old Testament as he is with the New Testament. So this is the Old Testament, 39 books. It's divided, like I said, into four different categories: law, history, wisdom or poetry, and the prophets, major and minor. We have seen this many times before in our studies. The law consists of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The history is from Joshua to Esther, and the books of poetry or wisdom include Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, the Song of Solomon. And the prophets are the major ones: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And the minor prophets from Hosea down to Malachi. Here's what we're going to get into starting next week: these particular books. So the Pentateuch, which are basically the first five books of the Bible, they cover from Genesis to Deuteronomy, and they were written by Moses. Although Genesis doesn't specify Moses per se, but when you look at the other books, they were written by Moses. They record the beginning of the universe, our world, man, sin, the first murder, the first false religion, the flood, the first rainbow, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the establishment of Israel, the Exodus from Egypt through the Red Sea, the Ten Commandments, wanderings of Israel in the wilderness, directions for building the tabernacle, guidelines for the sacrifices, numerous ordinances for worship, societal order of conduct and warnings relative to holiness. God loves holiness and hates sin. And these books also speak of historic people such as Adam, Eve, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Aaron, and Joshua. We go on to see that the 12 books of Israel's history is included in the Old Testament. They're from Joshua to Esther, and they cover the period after Moses' death, about 400 years before Christ. And Moses died. Joshua led Israel into the promised land. God had directed Israel to defeat all the nations in the promised land so that they will not be polluted by sin of all the peoples in the region, but they failed. They failed to follow God's plan. And after Joshua's death, Israel was guided by a number of judges during the period of moral bankruptcy. They didn't care. They just wanted to do their own thing. They didn't put God first. Eventually, the Israelites asked for a king, just like all the other nations had, which God granted to them. God gave them the desire of their hearts. But the children of Israel, the Israelites, made a bad decision. And what followed was a series of a few good kings, but mostly evil kings who reigned over Israel. We continue that the first king, Saul, did not remain true to God. He sinned. And he basically was followed by his son, Ish-bosheth, who at the age of 40 reigned for 2 years. And that's found in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. And God replaced him with King David. And God was still is looking for good leaders who loved him and respond accordingly. And we all know the story of David. And he was, in fact, a man after God's own heart. But then again, he sinned in his life. And we see that after his sin with adultery with Bathsheba, he killed Uriah, her husband, in battle. Had her husband, Uriah, killed in battle. And Nathan, the prophet, told Daniel that he had sinned. David's child died, the one he had with Bathsheba. And then Bathsheba gave birth to his son, Solomon. And after David died, Solomon became the king. And Solomon was blessed by God with wisdom and riches. And we all know the story of what happened with his reign. He built the first temple and enjoyed great fame. In the latter years of Solomon's life, he followed other gods due to the influence of his many unbelieving wives. Consequently, God divided the people into the northern, which is Israel, and the southern, Judah, kingdom. And after most of these kings were wicked and did not follow God, as a result, both Israel and Judah were eventually deported and held captive in Babylon as a punishment for their waywardness. And after 70 years, a portion of the Jews returned to the promised land. Again, a remnant that God wanted to hold for him. And he had a purpose for that. As we continue, we look at the poetry books or the Book of Wisdom. And they're from Job to Solomon, God's wisdom literature. Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible. We don't know when it was written, but he was a patriarch. And we read about the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. We read about them, and there are also other people in the Bible that we don't know much about, but Job is one of them. And he had trials in his life, difficulties. And Satan interacted with God to try to draw Job away from God. But Job held firm to his beliefs, and God took care of him. We see the books of Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon were written primarily by King David and Solomon. And Psalms is a book of worship. Many songs have been written using the words from various Psalms. And it's the way we praise God. And it's an excellent book to read, to know your relationship with God. And the Song of Solomon is very unusual because it describes a love and beauty of a couple courting and their eventual marriage. It's very explicit. It demonstrates that God cares about marriage and the physical aspects of that relationship. And I believe that Dean and Kim are going to bring that up in their new class to the young adults who are just starting a journey in marriage. We see the major prophets, another segment of the Old Testament. And the books are basically five, Isaiah to Daniel. And the prophets spoke to Israel on behalf of God and warned them to repent of their sins or else see Israel fall. That's an admonition for us when we read the prophets, because they are communicating God's word to his children, but yet they don't follow them. And the major prophets also describes Israel's return to Canaan, Jesus' first coming, and the future times. So it's important that we understand the prophets in our lives. Just because they were written in the Old Testament and just because they were basically speaking to the children of Israel, they also relate to us when we read them. The next section of the prophets are called the minor prophets. And the only difference between the minor prophets and the major prophets is the amount they had written. We see that there are 12 books, Hosea to Malachi, and they were written between 840 to 430 BC. And they give a detail about the lives of some of these prophets are unknown. All we know is they appeared and they were God's mouthpiece. And their messages range from warnings to Israel, other nations, predictions concerning the Messiah, and the future of Israel. And the Old Testament ends with the promise that a messenger will come before the Messiah, Jesus Christ, arise. And that messenger is, people thought it was Elijah, but it was John the Baptist. In the final verses of Malachi, we are told that Elijah the prophet will come before a great and terrible day of the Lord. That's referring to John the Baptist. And then all of a sudden we see there's a silence of about 400 years before Jesus arrived. God stopped communicating through the prophets to the children of Israel. God didn't give up on his people. God just turned his back on the people because of sin. And the New Testament continues with the history of the promised one. That's the Messiah, who is Jesus, the Christ, which leads us into the New Testament. There's essentially 27 books, which 27 and the 39 books equals 66. We have the life of Jesus found in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what bridges that life of Jesus to the New Testament churches is Acts, the historical record concerning the first century church. We see that Paul had written 13 books. He wrote books to various churches, Corinth, Rome, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Then he wrote 4 books to individuals, to individual people, Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Then what completes the books are the general epistles and book of prophecy. The general epistle are Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and Jude, and then the book of Revelation. So essentially, that's the nutshell of the Bible. So we go through the Gospels. We see that there's 4 different Gospel writers describe the life of Jesus. And it reveals the fact that Jesus did miracles, taught divine principles, healed many, and was in fact God. And each of those books emphasize a various aspect of Jesus' life. They are written by the Holy Spirit and 3 apostles, with Luke being the writer, a medical doctor who was a friend of Paul the apostle. He doesn't identify himself in the book of Luke, but when you couple the first verses of Luke and Acts, we see that he addresses Theophilus, who is, it means a friend of God, but more important, he was a probably an official that wanted to learn more about Jesus, and he was Luke's friend, and he was communicating that with him, with Luke in the book of Acts. And Jesus is the focus and center of each of these books. And when we go through all the books, we're going to see how we could see Jesus in each one of the books from Genesis to Revelation. And the books reveal that God greatly loves us and wants to forgive our sins. And as a result, Jesus died on the cross for our sins to accomplish that goal. Jesus then returned to life 3 days later and ascended back into heaven. And he will again return again. We don't know when, but yet he's going to come again. And the early church, we look at the book of Acts. And it's a historical book. It actually ties the Gospels to the rest of the books in the New Testament. It reveals the events after Christ returns to heaven. And the book describes the start of the spiritual church, the establishment of the first local church, and the spread of the gospel throughout the Roman world at that particular time. It reveals God's desire that both Jews and Gentiles be saved. God wanted them to become Christians. During this transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we see that he addressed the Jews first, and that's because they had the oracles of God. They knew God. They knew his word. but he included the Gentiles also. And we'll look at some of the books that in the Old Testament that points to the Gentiles. And the Jews were very obstinate about accepting them because they claimed they were God's chosen people. The Pauline epistles, there are 13 from Romans to Philemon, and they're written by Paul. And these books are mainly doctrinal. They explain salvation, the church, the future, and how to live a Christian life. Really foundational. Really things that God wants us to apply to our lives. And there are also warnings concerning false teachers, and false teaching are major themes. And many of the books address the sin of believers. We're all not perfect. We do stumble and we do all sin. But since we have Jesus as our mediator, we have a means of correcting that and repenting of those sins and getting our lives back in a right relationship with God. Then there's the general epistles. And there's eight of them from Hebrews to Jude. And they are addressed to believers everywhere. Some people claim that Hebrews was written by Paul. I can't say that because when you read the Bible, he doesn't start the book of Hebrews like he starts all his other letters, where he identifies himself. He could have written Hebrews, but who knows who had written Hebrews? The best thing to do is when you get to heaven, ask Paul if he had written that book. And these books, the general epistles, were written by Peter, John, the brother, Jesus' brother James, and then Jude. They had written these epistles. And like I said, we don't know who the writer of Hebrews is. And they deal with the true faith and false teachers. Things that we should have, we should always be on guard for. False teachers. And the book of Hebrews shows the superiority of Jesus as the high priest. And the book of James instructs on practical living. And Peter's epistles deal with suffering and false teachers. Also, the book of Jude complements Peter's writings about false teachers. When you look at Jude, you'll see that there's a number of verses that also address the same things that Peter had addressed. Okay, the book of prophecy, which is the last book, Revelation, and it's about the future, is a literal book with many symbols, which have explanations from the Old Testament. And when you read and study Revelation, the best way to start studying Revelation, the book of Revelation, is to look at the book of Daniel. You'll see many similarities or symbols there. A lot of people feel that this is the book of Revelation is a book concerning the victory that Jesus had over Satan. And I'm in agreement with that. But there are a group of individuals that believe that this is the destruction of Jerusalem. I try to fit that in, but I can't. And when we get to the book of Revelation, we'll talk a little bit more about that. And the main theme of the book of Revelation, I feel that there's victory in Jesus. And there is. If you're in Jesus, you are going to achieve victory over sin, over all your troubles here on earth, because you're putting Jesus first. So looking at the Old Testament, I had put together a timeline so that we could see where the books fall. And this is where I did my research, and I picked this off of several different books and several different internet sites. And the first thing I'm going to share with everybody, that the book of Job, we don't know when it was written. Probably one of the first books, but we don't know when. We also see that Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy were written about 1450 to 1405 BC. So they're written about this time frame. And the author we had indicated before was Moses. Psalms was written between this period, 1410 to 1450 BC. That's a long time to write the book of Psalms. But anyway, it was a collection by many authors. And it's a book that praises and glorifies God, something that we should be looking at in our lives as Christians, to give God praise and glory. Joshua was written about 1405 to 1385 BC. And like I said, these dates are from people who researched this. The Bible doesn't tell us when these books were written, but people who studied and tried to piece things together, they came up with some of these dates. Judges, that time period was written about 1043 BC. And Ruth was written about the same time frame, 1030 to 1010 BC. Song of Solomon came in about 971 to 765 BC. And Proverbs, mostly written by Solomon, was from 971 to 686 BC. So you see how these books just overlap each other. Ecclesiastics, 940 to 931 BC. And 1st and 2nd Samuel, 931 to 722 BC. Obadiah, one of the minor prophets, 850 to 840 BC. Joel, another minor prophet, 835 to 796 BC. Jonah, 775 BC. Amos, 750 BC. Hosea, Micah, another two minor prophets, 750 to 710 and 735 to 710 in that time frame. Isaiah, one of the major prophets, 700 to 681 BC. Nahum, 650 BC. Zephaniah and Habakkuk, 635 to 625 and 615 to 605 BC. And Ezekiel, Lamentations, Jeremiah, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Daniel and Haggai were written in this time frame. And the remaining books were written in the latter half of BC, from 480 to 400 BC in that time frame. That gives you the chronological books and when they were written. They overlap things and they weren't written in order as we have it. I have the next couple of slides. They're for your information. They're what we just covered on the dates. And this particular PowerPoint presentation will be on our website, so you can reproduce it if you want. Just ask Jerry to assist you if you have a hard time with that. And again, the Old Testament writings are, if you like that type of layout. Now, in the New Testament, I have a timeline. We see that James was written about 44 to 49 AD. Galatians, 49 to 50 AD. Mark and Matthew, 50 to 60 AD. So you see, when you look at the New Testament, they weren't written in order. This is the dates that some of the commentaries came up with, some of the educators came up with to help us understand the times of the writing. First Thessalonians was written in 51 AD. Second Thessalonians started 51 to 52 AD. First Corinthians 55 AD. Second Corinthians 55 to 56 AD. Romans 56 AD. Luke 60 to 61 AD. Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon, Colossians 60 to 62, approximate dates of those writings. Acts was written in 62 AD. First Timothy, Titus, First Peter, Second Timothy, Second Peter, and Jude from 62 to 70 AD. That's in this time frame. The book of John, the Gospel of John, 80 to 90 AD. First, Second, Third John, 90 to 95 AD. And I put Revelation, 94 to 96 AD. Some people have it before 70 AD. And we'll discuss that as we look at the book of Revelation. Again, the next two slides contain in the dates they were written, not on a timeline, but you could see that will help you out. And again, these dates are approximate. They were came up by men because they're not recorded in the Bible. Okay, so what is Jesus' relationship to the law? He was born under the law or the first covenant. Can I have someone read Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, please?
But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons.
Thank you. So Paul says that Jesus, God sent his Son, he was born of a woman, he was born under the law, and he was going to redeem those who were under the law, those who strive to keep the Old Testament law to the best they can, and those who will be adopted sons. And who do you think the adopted sons are? Those are Christians who are Gentiles, you and I. We, by God's grace and mercy, we were added to God's family, which is phenomenal. So he was born under the law, the first covenant, the Old Testament covenant. And while he was here, Jesus kept that Old Testament covenant. He didn't spring into something new, but yet he was obedient to the law. Another fact that we see about Jesus is that he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Can I get someone to read Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, please?
Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished.
Thank you, Eileen. So Jesus said he didn't come to earth to wipe out the law or the prophets, but he came to fulfill what they had said, what the law is about. And he did it. When you read the Gospels, you could see his life. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of things that weren't written down about what Jesus did. There's only a snapshot in time that we have of Jesus' life. And that we believe in Jesus by reading that. And it must have been phenomenal if you were here when Jesus was on the earth. You could just think, what would you have done? Would you have followed him? Or would you have been like those people who wanted to destroy him? We are very fortunate as Christians. We have the entirety of God's written word. And we understand it. And we believe it. We have faith in it. But then again, if you were back in the first century, what would you have done? Something to think about. Again, Jesus, he kept the law perfectly. Can I get a volunteer to read John chapter 19, verse 30, please?
Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Thank you, man. So Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross, and he lived under the Old Testament law. And in Hebrews chapter 5, and verse 8 to 11, can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he had suffered, which he suffered.
Thank you, Di. So he followed the law. He followed the Old Testament law. He was obedient. Even though he was the Son of God, he was obedient. And it goes on to say further, I'm sorry about that. And having been made perfect, he became to those who obeyed him the source of eternal life. And being designated by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So he is our high priest. And I don't know why. I think I messed up on my PowerPoint. I should have all came up the same time. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth.
Thank you, Faye. So he committed no sin, and we have that written down for us in Matthew. And he got angry just like you and I, but yet he controlled that anger. We have a we have a tendency not to do that. And we should be praying for God's help with that. I know I have to. So in his death, he made it possible for mankind to be redeemed out of under the curse of the law. Can I get a volunteer to read Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, please?
Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree," in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Thank you, Manx. Thank you, Matt. So Christ redeemed all of us, those who were keeping the law, old covenant law, and us today, who put on Jesus. And by our faith, we believe that he is the Savior. He is the Son of God. And the Gentiles, whom were promised, who had received, who God has promised us through the Spirit, their faith. And that's us today. Because he made it possible for all humanity to be redeemed. And also, Jesus, his death made it possible to give the new and better covenant. And we have, can I get a volunteer for, again, Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, please?
Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor.
Thank you, Carolyn. So the law was our tutor to lead us to Christ. Well, if you don't look at the Old Testament covenant, the old law, we could see that that leads each and every one of us to Jesus Christ and justifies us by our faith. And we don't need to be under the old law anymore because we have the faith. And again, Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. May I have a volunteer for that one, please?
When you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcised of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgression, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross.
Thank you. So we see that when Paul wrote to the saints at Colossae, we see that Jesus nailed all our transgressions to the cross. He made it possible for all humanity to have a better covenant. We go on to read again in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 and 7. May I have a volunteer for that one, please?
But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second.
Thank you, Di. So we see that Jesus is the mediator of the better covenant. It's better than the old covenant, and it covers our sins. How marvelous is that? And in the last scripture, can I get someone to read verse 13 of chapter 8.
When he said a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete, but whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear.
Thank you. So thank you, Eileen. So the new covenant, which everyone is under, he made the old one obsolete. It's done away with. And now we are in a better covenant with God through Christ Jesus. So when we look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, the story is going to be the same. It's going to lead us from the first writings to the last to Christ Jesus. And when we go through the books, I'm going to ask you some questions. We are going to try to look at the purpose of every one of each book. We are going to look at some key verses in those books that I'll share with you. Then we're going to, I'm going to ask you to give us a brief summary of each book. And you'll see how I set the book of Genesis up next week, and we'll tailor that for the remaining part of our study. And as we go through it, we're going to see that some of the books foreshadow Jesus Christ from Genesis all the way up to Revelation. And then if we can, try to see some practical applications of those writings. We're not going to go in depth of every book, but we are going to, I'm going to ask people to pick up some highlights they have from the book. For example, we look at Genesis. Well, it tells us God created the world. It's foundational to Christian beliefs, because God is creator. And if you look around us, you could say, my father created all this. So that's how we're going to approach the remainder of our study. Does anybody have any questions of tonight's study or what we're going to be doing as we go forward? I sure appreciate everybody's readings, and we'll pick up our study next Wednesday. I don't know how many books we're going to cover each session. We're just going to take it one book at a time. If we do one, that's fine. If we do two or three, that's fine. But I don't think we are going to cover four or five books in one lesson. So when we look at the books, and I'm going to ask each one to give me something that you get out of the book, and I'm going to share what I came up with in each book. With that, if there's no questions, the next time we'll meet will be Sunday,